The following is an oral history interview with Joanne Patillo by Mark Robbins for the South Texas Hispanic Farm Labor Community's Oral History Project. The interview took place on March 28, 2013 in Robstown, Texas.
If you don't mind just saying your name.
Yeah, I'm Joanne Patillo of the Patillo family in this area. That had the Red and White grocery store on Main Street on 4th in Main. And it was a Red and White brand name store, but it was called the Patillo Brothers Grocery Store. And I was raised in there because it burned down in 57. Right. And in 57, I was a junior in college down at A&M.
Okay.
But before that, I used to work down there every summer selling cold drinks. And like I told Dusty, would you believe I sold $500 once, one Saturday, and that's at a nickel a bottle.
Oh, my.
Yes. But that was my job, which I loved to do, and I loved to work at the grocery store. But I had to have an apron on. And I had the apron on, and I had to fold it over and tie a knot in the back, and then I could work. I would sweep, and I would do anything that needed to be done. Now, my sister, no. She had no desire to be down there. Mother made her one Saturday come down there, and she was going to check groceries. And my sister's, 4 years older than I am. And she would say, well, what if I make a mistake? And Mother said, you just corrected. And she was just nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And my mother was putting up with it. She said, this isn't worth it. Just go home. So that was my episode for my sister. And my brother, they tried to make him work in the meat market. And that didn't last long either. I was the only one.
Wow.
And also, I was 14 delivering groceries in our old pickup. In those days, you could call to the grocery store and say, I need some groceries and have them delivered. No extra cost. They'd take the list and give it to me and tell me where to go. And away I'd go in that four on the floor old pickup and delivering groceries. But I enjoyed it. I know everybody in town. Everybody in town knows me. Because of my beginnings there.
Yeah.
And my daddy would contract cotton picking farmers that had cotton pickers, to come in there on Saturday with a truckload of them and drop them off in the back of the grocery store there for them to come in and buy their groceries, et cetera. And Saturdays, you couldn't throw a rock without hitting three people. Because it was so crowded. You couldn't even walk down the sidewalks because there were so many people on the sidewalk. But grocery store deliveries was one thing we did. I enjoyed doing it. Of course, they don't do it. They didn't think about it today.
Did you ever deliver groceries to the labor camp or to any of the farms?
No.
Or mostly?
The labor camp was there. My junior high history teacher lived out there because he wasn't married. And he had a dog. And he wanted to give the dog away because where he was living and everything. And it was a master dog. And we went out there to his apartment house where he was in a labor camp, knocked on the door, and this dog came running up the door. We said, oh, my goodness, you know. But Mr. Cowan, yeah, I remember his name now. Mr. Cowan came to the door and said, Seebeck. And he just like that, sat down. So we went in there, and we said, well, what about that? He's fine. Anyway, my brother and my daddy wanted the dog, and they went by and gingerly took the dog, put it in the pickup, and then put him. We had a little farm out on the edge of town, it was so small, and mainly my father put meat in there that had just been slaughtered, and you know it has to cool for about 4 or 5 days to cure, and then bring it to the grocery store. So, and we had that cooling facility out there, and Eugene Upshaw's grandmother and grandfather had a little house and lived out there and took care of the farm, or we called it the place because it was so small. Huh. Yeah, and so Daddy would make sausage out there in the back of the store also. That's how we got into Patilla's Country Sausage as a business after the store burned down in 57. And other than that, oh, the dog. We took the dog and gingerly and carefully we got him over where he was a master, you know, we were the masters, and he was away from Mr. Cowan and everything. But anybody come in the yard, boy, he would, they would stop. And my daddy would take him also in the pickup with him. And his name was Seabag because Mr. Cowan brought him over from England in his sea bag when he was in the Navy.
Oh.
And he was a shepherd, English shepherd dog.
So did some folks who lived at the labor camp weren't laborers or farm managers? So like Mr. Cowan, he was teaching history in middle school, so that was also a place where just single men would live?
Yeah. A person could rent out there if they were available, but most of the cotton pickers, I really don't know. They may, the people that pick cotton, I mean, farmers would contract these cotton pickers, and they would have 50 or 60 of them. But where they came from, I have really no idea. I just know that Daddy would contract farmers for their cotton pick, bring their cotton pickers in to our store to buy groceries and everything. And we opened the store 7 o'clock in the morning, and dear, we didn't usually get out of there till 2 or 3 on Saturday in the morning.
Oh, wow. So you'd get truckloads of people even at midnight?
Well, not really that. People would come down there, and I need a jar of mayonnaise. My daddy would open the door and let them in, you know. But finishing and restocking and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
We were there late. And, you know, we worked hard there, an individual business as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you had sell $500 and Cokes there at a nickel apiece.
Right.
Do you have recollections where people excited to come in and get something cold to drink?
They'd come up to me and they'd want an orange or soda water. Of course, you called them soda waters in that days. And I had learned, and that's how I became physically fit. I had to carry those cases of drinks from the back to the front and then stock my, it was an open Coca-Cola case, didn't have a lid on it, it was just open with crushed ice all in there. Now you don't put a bottle in there butt down, you put it cap down.
Huh.
Put it butt down, it'll explode.
Really?
Yeah. That cold water hits it. So I learned that by the way, and stock it in there and have it stocked. And they like strawberries, and they like those oranges. And I knew what their desires were, and I kept stock of that, you know, quite a bit of those drinks in there because that's what they desired. Coca-Cola's next.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Did you get mostly kids or adults, saving up pennies?
No, these were all adults. I don't even remember kids actually, you know, coming in there, what have you, but I'm sure some of them had some. But most of them were adults. And my brother-in-law was there, my sister's husband, and he came in there to watch people from stealing things.
Yes.
Because they would do that.
Well, I'd imagine with 500... Oh, with that volume of sales, it would be hard to watch that many people in a store. Did you have any sort of specific memories that stand out to you about those Saturdays.
It was just, now remember, this is in the time there was no air conditioning. It was, but I don't remember it being hot. You know, hot, I think when I was a child or people my age, and wasn't as hot as it is today, because we're ruined today by having air conditioning. But no, we didn't even have fans that I can remember.
Wow.
And at nighttime, roaches were about 2 inches long, and they flew, and they would hit the wall and come down, and you'd kill it. But I can remember those things and of me working there and working there all the time that I did.
Did you get to know a lot of the patrons as regulars?
Most of the customers that came in there, yeah, I knew, and they knew me personally. And, of course, I grew up here and working at the grocery store like that, mm-hmm. and my folks, and my granddad died when he was 93. My granddad would get out in front of the grocery store during the day, meeting people, and he would come up to him. I'm Will Patillo. This is my son's grocery store here. Uh-huh. And he loved to do that. And he'd stay out there about 2 hours, and then he would walk home. He lived on Avenue E. He wanted a ride. He wanted to walk home, and he wanted to meet the people out there and just get to know the people that as they come by. And everybody knew Will Patillo. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to know a lot of the laborers that came in, too?
No.
Or were they mostly migrant laborers that came in?
Yes. Yeah. Most of them were migrant laborers. Yeah, they came in and were hired by the farmers. And I didn't, you know, I was working too hard to get to know them, selling those soda waters.
Yeah. Did you ever run out of soda waters or always stocked for Saturday?
We always had enough. We had cases and cases of them in the back there. It was just toting them up the front. And that was a labor, but I learned to do it.
So when did you start working at the store? You said it closed because of the fire in the 50s.
Yeah, 57 it burned down.
Okay.
But I started working probably, I would say, because I was even driving that pickup when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 16. I was 16 when it burned down. And I probably was working in there when I was 9 years old.
Okay. So,
and
about
every summer, that's what I did.
Huh. Wow. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing about it?
Selling the soda waters.
Yeah.
Well, and wearing the apron, I think.
Uh-huh.
It identified me as somebody special.
Yeah.
Wearing the apron.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even, after... You know, we had all the cotton pickers out of there and everything, and that usually happened about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because they would go home and then they'd have a big dance at night on one of the farms.
Oh.
And we went one time, went just to drive out there. My daddy and mother wanted to go and everything. And boy, it was wild, wild woods, I tell you. But I guess wearing the apron, that's one thing that just was very important to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm interested to hear about, I don't know if you remember much more about the dance. So you said it was pretty wild. Was it just really crowded or loud music or what sort of
thing? It was crowded and they were hollering. The music was going on because we stayed in the car. My daddy's the only one that got out and went over there and everything. And of course, my daddy drank pretty heavily. And he went over there and got a beer. But and they were all drinking and what have you. But that's what they did on Saturday night.
Yeah. Did they generally work in the fields on Saturday morning before coming to the store? Or is that kind
know.
Of a day off?
I really don't know. I really don't know. But I would think yes. And then they came to the store. I wanted to say, they didn't come all day long, but about 3 o'clock, at 3 o'clock to about 5.
Okay.
They were.
As a peak time.
Yeah, they were come in there with their truckloads like that, and then after they had shopped and everything, they'd get back in the truck, and then he'd take them back to the farm.
All right. Did they look tired when they got there, or just excited to get a cold drink?
No. That didn't, as a kid, which I was, I didn't notice that at all in the people. They had on nicer clothes. They didn't have work clothes on because they were going to town.
Yeah.
Go to town on Saturday, so they had their bath, cleaned up, and had on pretty nice clothes. Huh. But it was a learning procedure in my life. And that's why I don't care where I go. I meet people that know me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see how you'd really get to know a lot of people through that job. That would be pretty exciting and a lot of hard work, too. Other questions. Are there any other particular memories that you have about either farming in the area or your time at the store or selling sodas that you'd like to share?
Other than with the grocery store, in January we had to do inventory. And I always got the job of counting what candy we had. Because remember, this was at the time of wartime, there was no sugar on there.
Mm. Oh, so this would be back during World War II or during? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because mother would get in maybe 2 boxes of Hershey bars, and that's all. She'd take a box at home and hide it and leave a box there for people to come in and buy. And another big thing was bubble gum, Fleer's bubble gum. I remember at school, hey, 10-cent store has Fleer's bubble gum. You're kidding. We'd run after school down to... And buy, and it was a penny a piece, So that was my job at the store, what candy we had. I had to count all the penny candy, all the penny gum out, put the total there for inventory. Huh.
Did you have to take people's ration coupons or anything like that?
That was going on, but I don't remember that. I remember the family having not so much, had to watch. And also, I remember my mother saying in the car, no, you can't take the car, just ride around. It's 20 cents a gallon. It's too expensive. And 20 cents a gallon. Look at it today.
Right.
It's too expensive. But I can't remember anything else outstanding or anything. Of course, the labor camp is where part of my, after I quit teaching in 83, I went to work out there at the labor camp. It's called Nueces County Park and Recreation Department, as the director of Inland Parks out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we have a pavilion right next to the community. Well, Richard Borchard was my boss.
And okay.
We were building the community center, so he put me in charge of it to check, because my office was a little wooden building that they had built when you come into the park there. And he wanted me to check over there daily that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, to specs and everything. But the community center over there, I saw it go up, and then the park, I worked on a grant about 96, I think it was, for the new park out there, north of it, across the trade stitches. We call it the New North Park.
Huh.
And it's 70 acres over there that we developed. And Richard told me, Joanne, go to your office and take a piece of paper and develop that park out there. What would you like to see? Which I did. And then we put it to a grant to the Texas Park of Wildlife in Austin. And after we tried three times and getting it the third time, we finally got it. And that's, we call that the $1 million park out there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But that, the other park, which is 30 acres, the existing park, that used to be the labor camp.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about the transition of, as I understand it, there was some time there where it wasn't used as a labor camp, and then I guess it was Commissioner Ortiz helped to make that into a park. Do you remember right. much about that?
No, I didn't. I was in college at that time, and then in college, that's my brother. Then in college, in the summertime, started in about 58, I started working in parks, in the camp up in Hunt, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Part of the Hills girls' camp up there teaching swimming. And every summer I did that.
Oh, okay.
Finished my degree, went to ANI and finished my degree, which I finally did. But I didn't stay around here in the summertime. And then I was staying down at Keensville finally in the dormitories. Didn't start that way in the beginning. 2 years I lived with my aunt down there to save money. But it's like I said, it took me 10 years to get my degree because I worked. And even my mother passed away in 58, I think. And I then had to go to work to find money to go to college.
Yeah.
Before that, she paid for it. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. And at one time, I had 7 different jobs. I was making that money. But also, I was failing courses. And I didn't realize I was just spinning my wheels. You know? But
she's getting interviewed.
Oh. Dr. Glock asked, he said, Joe, what would you do different? I said, I think I would grow up a little bit before I started.
You know, it's funny. I still, you know, you see that a lot. I have some students now. I teach at Del Mar. And,
yeah.
I for a while and then come back. And
I taught at Del Mar at nighttime swimming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was adjunct faculty.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was adjunct faculty over there for 15 years teaching swimming.
So probably right across the parking lot from where I am in Heritage Hall. Right in there in the kinesiology building.
Exactly. Can you cut that off?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I can stop here. Thanks again. I appreciate it.